Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year's Eve on this Tuesday night. I am very appreciative of all of you and glad that you are here on this Tuesday night talking Sugar Bowl, obviously. Ole Miss is healthy. I put Ish in the title. It's really only related to one player, but the news on that is good. It's not perfect, but it's good. And on the flip side, Georgia got some bad injury news going into this game. Kind of expected it, but still, it is official now, so we'll talk about that. And also, there was a prevailing conversation at Sugar Bowl Media Days, and it was centered around, I mean, a lot of Kiffin questions out there. There was Louisiana-based media. They asked a lot of questions. It's unfortunate that the players are having to be asked and answer to things like that, you know, 48 hours, just over 48 hours before they play in the biggest game of their lives. But I do think that you should feel comfort, not necessarily in their answers, but their approach and the sample size that you have been given for how they've handled it all season long. And I don't think this game will be any different. And of course, your messages on this Tuesday night. So glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And yeah, wherever you get your podcast, right here on YouTube. Sorry, drew a blank there for a second. I'm not firing on all cylinders anymore. Year's almost over. Going to New Orleans tomorrow with all of you, because every person that has ties to Ole Miss is going to New Orleans this week, as I have learned. So maybe that's what it is. But yes, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, right here on YouTube as well. Leave a comment, like, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. So, injury report. Some news there. Let's start with that. From the Ole Miss perspective, there is really one kind of eyebrow-raising player on this list in terms of the possibility that he doesn't play. Out, Cedric Beavers, John Wayne Oliver, with all due respect to the players, not going to play a role in this game. Doubtful, Raymond Collins, same thing. Questionable, Caleb Odom. Now, I'm interested about that, that he has filled a small role, but he has been used this season sparingly. So him being questionable, it ain't nothing, but that's not a significant deal. All eyes on the Ole Miss side of the injury report has been on Kewon Lacy. Not a surprise that he is listed as probable, as is Daquan Wright. Both of them are going to play, and we knew that already. Kewon Lacy was asked about that today, and essentially his answer, he said AC joint, so not a bruise, but you know, was playing coy about exactly how hurt he is. He's going to play. They're going to shoot him up with some good stuff. They're going to put some feel-good stuff. They're going to put a wrap, some kind of brace on him, and he's going to play. Joe Judge was asked about that this week, and his answer was essentially, it's football. I mean, especially a physical position like that, if you're not banged up, then, you're lucky more so than anything else. And so he's going to play. That's a good thing for Ole Miss. The effectiveness is really the question, right? Is it going to deter him at all? Is he going to even subconsciously play a little timid trying to protect his shoulder? And if he can't go, or if he re-aggravates it, what does that do for Ole Miss in this game? But the news is he's going to play. That is good news. He smiled when talking about it today. Certainly hurt, but going to give it a go. And Ole Miss needs him if they're going to win this game. So that was not surprising, pretty standard, basic, like, well, duh, obviously. Of course, he's going to give it a go and try to play. But seeing him listed as probable on the injury report, talking about it today, confirming he's going to play, is a good thing. Because, again, they need him, especially his pass protection ability they're going to need in this game. That's the most... You know, a lot of people that watch Ole Miss every day and cover Ole Miss respect that about his game. But that is not something that nationally people respect enough about his game, is the other stuff. Even, like, if you look at certain games where he didn't have crazy run totals, how many times in our post-game reaction did we say, Kiwon Lacy, don't look at the numbers. He played really well today. He's a stud. I mean, how many times did we say that this season? He does so many things well that don't just pop on stat sheets. And Ole Miss isn't winning this game without Kiwon. So good news there. From the Georgia perspective, one very significant one, it's Drew Bobo, the center. Now, didn't play in the SEC championship game. Also, not surprised to see him listed as out on this injury report, but it's still significant because after he went down, that Georgia offense has really struggled. I did an interview with Brooks Austin, about 30 minutes. I will play it for you guys here. I'll put that on this feed tomorrow, that conversation in full. A lot of conversation from the Georgia perspective, as you can imagine, from him. But asked him about it at the very end, and it was, according to Brooks, it's a big loss. Not only from a, like, just pure talent, like ability to play center perspective, but also things like setting protections and making sure everybody's on the same page on the offensive line. He's an integral part of that unit, and without him, they have struggled. Even in the SEC championship game, if you look at Georgia offensively, they struggled in that game too, despite what the scoreboard said. So that is something to keep an eye on. I mean, Echols has been really good lately. Really, the defensive line has been much better in the back half of the season, as we've talked about. I would expect Ole Miss to really try to exploit that, really try to confuse the interior of that offensive line and test to see if they were able to get Bobo's replacement adequately prepared for this one compared to the last couple of games that he has had to play in. So interesting game within the game. Upcoming is how Ole Miss plans to attack the interior of that Georgia offensive line. So that's your injury report. The other side of it, I'm sure that your comments will bring up a lot of things around Media Day, maybe the Dellinger article, we'll see. But they were asked a lot about Lane Kiffin, et cetera, et cetera. And I understand why they're asked that. You don't get the opportunity to ask players questions very often. And if you're doing your job, you need to ask them certain things. I understand why Trinidad was asked if he has talked to Lane Kiffin today. I get it, especially because Lane Kiffin tweets about him. So I get it. It makes sense. I get why Lacy was asked about it. And he admitted that there has been conversations about his future with coaches that are still at Ole Miss that are going to LSU. That Dellinger article, I think, validated why we've talked about it so much and why I've been concerned. And a few episodes ago, I told you guys that I'd been hearing some things about, tampering was to be expected, but some stuff that had gone on in that article, I think, confirms what we were talking about then. It's unfortunate, frankly, reading that from Dellinger. Great reporting, but it's just really unfortunate that has gone down. Not surprising, but unfortunate nonetheless that is the situation that these players find themselves in. But you shouldn't read too much into their answers necessarily, but I do think the concept of them being a distracted team, I would be surprised if it is Lane Kiffin portal distraction that causes this team to lose the game. If they lose, it's because they lose, right? Georgia's really good. Elite. It's Kirby Smart's Georgia. Very good. There's a reason they're a touchdown underdog. I will be very surprised, though, if it's distraction. If it's Lane Kiffin, it's that stuff that stops this team in particular from being adequately focused and prepared, because you just have the sample size in so many different ways, as we've talked about all season long. They dealt with on-field adversity, the Georgia game in particular, and then what happened literally the next week, found themselves in the exact same situation, but they executed. We talk about that all the time. But also just this Kiffin stuff has been going on with this team for quite some time. They have dealt with drama. They've dealt with the pulling in different directions. They dealt with him leaving. They dealt with Golding taking over. They've dealt with all of this. It's been a theme for this football team all season long. And all they have done is they've been able to block out those distractions and play well and not make that part of their story, especially listening to some of the interviews that some of the players did today. There are too many strong-willed veteran players in that locker room to allow something to go wrong now. I think they've proven that. I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt that even though, again, if you read Dellinger's article in Yahoo, there's a lot of stuff still going on that the players, frankly, just deserve better than the situation that they have been put in by Lane Kiffin. They deserve better. Pete Golding's doing a great job of trying to balance it all. And I love Pete Golding's messaging about who matters and what matters and why they matter. I love that. I think it's genuine too. Players and fans first is something that I talk about all the time. And I mean, he speaks to me when he talks, I swear, because it's something that I think that people in my business and in sports in general don't talk about enough. Anyway, but point being, the players haven't deserved what's happened to them, and all they've done, and reading some quotes today, they've allowed that to bring them closer together instead of dividing them. So a lot of questions about it. I just listening to them, I would be surprised if that deters them in any way from playing their best coming up on Thursday. That is a really mature football team, and media day questions and Kiffin stuff is not going to stop them now, I don't think. I'm not saying that they're going to go win the game on Thursday. I don't know if they will or they won't, but I do know that what they've put on the field this year tells you that they'll mentally be fine in this game. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. And Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for, again, all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. So check them out and bank with me at Priority One Bank. What's up, buddy? Saw a certain coach reposted one of your tweets today with a pretty sarcastic remark. And then another one, Lane tweeted at you, Borky, wish you would have ended him. No, I mean, I would gain nothing by engaging with him online. I mean, there's no benefit to it. You cannot win on the internet. There's only losing. I'm learning that more and more every day. And he's doing a lot of tweeting through it lately. He's always kind of been a Twitter guy anyway, but the last couple of weeks anyway have been like hyperdrive with him. And it's almost like hit dog hollers kind of thing. The lady doth protest too much, whatever, you know, expression you want to use there. I think there's a lot of, I'm not fine, or I'm fine, I'm actually laughing kind of stuff. And that's why I think what his Twitter behavior has been lately is more of that. Especially when his response to what I said doesn't even make sense at all. It was about ESPN and conflict of interest. It had nothing to do with LSU. It's ESPN does that all the time. ESPN does that with the NBA, and it drives me crazy. I talk about it all the time. You have ESPN personalities, and again, they're a television partner of the NBA, openly encouraging NBA teams or players to leave NBA teams. And it's a direct conflict of interest to be a partner with the league and then try to manipulate the goings on in that league. It's not anyway. And they're doing it now with college football as well. The intertwining of ESPN, who is the broadcast partner, the exclusive rights holder of SEC sports, is ESPN. They are the rights holder of SEC sports on television. And for ESPN to have personalities that share agents with the coaches who are going from one member school to another, and then you have other employees of ESPN encouraging, openly talking about how they inserted themselves into one of the partner schools, coach leaving for another partner school. I mean, that's a direct, it's unethical, if anything else. I mean, it's not against the law, but, you know, I did go to journalism school, and there were a few classes that talked about ethics and the whole setup with college football and ESPN and their personalities and agents, and the way it's all connected is it is unethical. Does it matter at the end of the day? I guess really not. But the fact is, the SEC's direct television partner has people that work there that are directly manipulating what happens, or at least trying to, or inserting themselves into the story. There's a difference between giving an opinion, like, hey, I think he should this, or I think he should that, and actually inserting yourself into the process. It's a big problem, and multiple employees of ESPN have done that. And, you know, I guess the league's not going to do anything. They're just printing money, so it doesn't matter. But it is a big problem, and I think the CAA thing in College Game Day a few weeks ago, the general public kind of picked up on that. If Kiffin is in the booth at any point during the broadcast on Thursday, it will be an absolute travesty and embarrassment to the sport. Buckle up. Buckle up. Don't know if it's just you, but man, it seems like the narrative on this game is Ole Miss has absolutely zero chance. A lot expecting a blowout. I've seen that. I have seen that. Don't quite understand it myself, but I've seen it. Where will we be pregame? I don't know yet. I do not know yet. What are we thinking? Or wish they were wearing white jerseys with red numbers. They haven't worn them in forever. They don't have them currently. I do expect that to change for next year. Thinking about the crowd, so a lot of tickets left, especially on the Georgia side. There are. I do think that the market has bit off more than it could chew when it comes to prices. Here, I'm pulling up Game Time right now. They do not sponsor me, and I will not accept a sponsor from Game Time because I think the fees are exploitative. Wow, tickets have dropped even more. Now they're inside of $180 to get in the door now. That is fascinating. They continue to drop. $171 to get in the door now. Fascinating. How about that? Anyway, I do think there will be more Ole Miss fans than Georgia fans for a couple of reasons. One, the proximity to Mississippi. I mean, a lot of people are making just drive down, drive back too on game day also. And this isn't new to Georgia. You know, Georgia fans travel to playoff games like every year. So that's part of it too. I have an old friend from like high school, middle school and high school that went to Georgia, and I reached out to him just to see if he was going because I haven't seen him in forever. And he and none of his friends are going because they want to go to Phoenix and then the national championship. So they're skipping on this trip. So yeah, I do think that there will be more powder blue than red. I really do. In New Orleans right now, favorite bar in New Orleans. Ooh, that's a good question. Favorite bar in New Orleans. There was a place we went to. I mean, it wasn't like fancy or nice, but there was a place we went to a few years ago called the Chop Yard in Uptown that I really, really liked. We'll probably go there this year too. I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was anything special. I really liked the vibe of the place. T-C-H-O-U-P Yard, like Chopatulus, the Chop Yard. I thought it was a cool spot. I really had fun there, actually. But there's better bars than that. But I do remember, like, we just kind of stumbled on it. And it was cool. In a neighborhood, too. Georgia Center being out could definitely help. It could. I feel like a fast start is crucial in this game. Rebs need to throw the first punch. They just need to get an early stop. That's what they need. They need an early stop. They need something positive defensively. You say your last show hit it on the head with explosive defensive plays. I think they need to force two turnovers at a minimum, win the margin to actually win the game. Yeah, and especially early, right? Force a turnover early. Get an early three and out. That kind of stuff. Big sack on third. You know, something like that to just inject some life into a defense that is better than they played in Athens. They certainly are. But they have a challenge on their hands, obviously. I'm concerned about Ole Miss's secondary and coverage busts, for example. That is one area that I'm really concerned about. They've been better stopping the run. They've been better getting after the quarterback, but I'm concerned about that. I think Georgia's tight ends especially are a mismatch, so they have got to find a way that way. They've got to find a way that way. Expect the Dome to be 60% Ole Miss fans. Surely won't be as hostile as the first matchup. I agree completely. Narrative completely shifts from Lane if they get it done against Georgia. Well, it won't shift away from Lane. It'll be more like it'll still be about him, but in a different way. He will be there with his best buddy, Jeff Landry, of course. Can't wait for the political rally speeches in a few years, as early as next year. Is this Lacey's numbers? 3 pressures and 107 attempts? It's unbelievable. Who dat? Yeah, man. Found the franchise quarterback. I'm really excited. But the whole draft was good. I mean, there's a lot of young guys now that are impressive. Don't think Georgia messes with them on a neutral field. A lot of people sleeping on a really good Rebs team. Maybe it was the Kiffin stuff, but I feel like no one is taught. No one is. No one's giving Ole Miss a chance in this game. It's crazy, but they're not. Keywon Lacey is a very important key for sure, but this is a Trinidad game. He has to be the reason the offense flows. He does. They were able to scheme guys open in that fourth quarter in Athens. They were open. He just missed them. And, I mean, you'll hear from Brooks tomorrow. He expects Georgia to do everything they can to keep Trinidad in the pocket and force him to do nothing with his legs at all. And so he's going to have to hit those intermediate over-the-middle type routes that he missed late in that game in Athens. Ole Miss has been so good on defense in second halves of games since Georgia, especially in the fourth quarter, especially getting after the quarterback, for sure. If Lane somehow ends up on the field, I could see it getting hostile quick. I would hope when it comes to something, I don't exactly know what the league office can do. I don't know. But I do know that the league office stopped Nick Saban from hiring Hugh Freeze. They have some power. If I were Greg Sankey, I would call, not Lane Kiffin, I would call LSU's AD. And I would say, you need to stop this. Things need to calm down a little bit. You got your guy, great. You've got to not let him do stuff like this right now. If the commissioner was doing his job, he would do whatever he could to put a stop to that. Because it's a black eye on his league. The whole saga has been a black eye on his league. It really has. To allow that to be the talking point all season is a big problem. And oh, by the way, the Big Ten's undefeated in bowl games and you're 2-5. And I know bowl games don't matter or whatever, but the national narrative has been that the SEC is losing its grip on the sport. That's been the national narrative, right? The league is losing its grip. And oh, by the way, it's adding 8 losses to the league next year because of 9 conference games. And now you've got this Kiffin stuff. And it's like, your league's not as good at football anymore. At least that's the national narrative. And you had great stories this year, but they were taken away from, distracted from, because the Kiffin mess. And now you're going to allow him, if you could prevent it from becoming an issue, to do that. I would put a stop to it, I think. But who knows? You have any thoughts about the SEC and bowl season so far? Or do you not really care? I mean, from the context of Ole Miss, it's better if everybody else around them is bad. So that helps some. Bringing 5 Rebels to Georgia Section 147. Feel like they need some powder blue with all that red. Might regret it after being barked at for 4 quarters. I got barked at at a gas station once. Can you elaborate on the Dellinger article? It's too long. I would encourage you just to go read it. But Walker Jones spoke on record, and his quotes are very pointed. And it was nice to see somebody not pretend like all is well, everything's on the up and up, no big deal, everybody's acting like professionals here and all that stuff. I never fell for it. You guys know that. And it was, I think it was good that somebody at Ole Miss is finally kind of defending Ole Miss here. Tampering was always going to happen, but that doesn't mean that it has to be done within the walls of your own home, you know? There was a lot of anecdotes in it about a meeting at Charlie Weiss's house that had been rumored that people didn't really talk about. Kewon Lacy saying he's had discussions about his future with soon-to-be LSU coaches or current LSU coaches that are still sticking around. Walker Jones's quotes are very, again, very pointed. It's why I questioned whether or not some of these guys needed to stick around. And the only thing I can think of at this point after reading all of that is Ole Miss needed them to send a message to the committee. That makes sense to me. That was the motivation, is look, make it look like everything is normal so they don't punish you. That makes sense to me. The portal opens Friday. Kevin Smith made reference to that today. Portal opens Friday. He works for LSU now. If Ole Miss wins, the only person I'd welcome back to coach the next game is Weiss. I don't think a running backs and a tight ends coach are integral in winning one game, especially considering, as we've talked about and as the article mentioned, they're already not there for everything anyway. You already have other people assuming their role anyway. With the portal actually open, knowing what we know now about how everything hasn't been on the up and up, you can't welcome them back, in my opinion. And if they do, trust Pete, he's earned the benefit of the doubt for sure. He absolutely has. But I don't think you can welcome them back if you win on Thursday. The portal will be open at that point. They can't be around for that. Going with a party of 10? Heck yeah, man. Have a great time. There's more to New Orleans than Bourbon Street. Know that. Go uptown. Look in the Garden District. There are cool bars and awesome tiny little restaurants and little dive bars all over the city that are in really cool places. You don't have to go to Bourbon Street to have fun. There's so much more to that place than that. Worried about Ole Miss stopping their offense, not getting any respect from national media. Hope they pull the upset off. They have a challenge on their hands, but they don't need to. It's not like they need to hold them to 10. You know, just get a few stops. His tweets haven't been just annoying and or arrogant. Some are just straight up weird and inappropriate. Yeah, it's next level. It's a signal to me of a crash out. That's what it looks like. I hope I'm wrong. I don't want anybody to have a personal crash out. That's what it looks like to me, though. A crash out. Anyone have an update on the player who was arrested for speeding in Alabama? Yeah, also some marijuana possession. I don't know. I mean, hasn't played all year, so I can't imagine that he'll play in this game either. I don't think he'll get kicked off the team or anything like that, but yeah, anyway. Fun fact, this is the fourth Sugar Bowl. That's SEC versus SEC. Ole Miss has played in all four. How about that? I did not know that. That's what I get for not reading the game notes yet. I think it's going to be a close game. Wouldn't be surprised if it's back and forth again, although a little slower scoring. Yeah, I'm thinking something like 31-28, something like that. I It was reported today in that article that there had been some inside the building tampering. What have you heard about it? It's what I made reference to a few episodes ago. I was kind of hoping it wasn't true, but sure enough, it is. I mean, it's obvious. The idea that people that work for Lane Kiffin were not going to do what was best for Lane Kiffin and what has been asked of them of Lane Kiffin was always a not. I mean, it was crazy to think that wasn't going to go down. Now, it was going to go down regardless. Tampering was always going to happen. But the analogy that I used on the radio show today was, if you have a teenager, they're going to go drink, right? They're going to go drink. I did. Yeah, they're going to go steal beer from one of their parents' fridges, and they're going to go do that. That's what I did. We snuck around. We had beer in high school. We did what we did. You know that's going to happen, but that doesn't mean that you have to buy it for them. You know what I mean? You don't put your liquor cabinet in your 17-year-old's bedroom. You know they're probably going to go do it. If they want to, they're going to. They're going to find a way. Kids are smart. Kids are creative. They're going to find a way. But you don't have to provide the vessel for them to do that. You know tampering was going to happen. You know it was. Of course it was. You're tampering too. But you don't have to allow the tamperers to use your facility as they're doing it, as the article said today. Is there not anything that Sankey or the college football playoff can do to keep him from going to the game? I don't think so. I mean, if he has a ticket like everybody else and sits in the box with the governor, who's going to say no? Who can say no? If I were the league, I would just tell them no. And you're the league office. You've got that power. You've told coaches no about hiring staff. You can certainly say, hey, you're no. Or you can go to your television partner and say, no, do not put him on TV. The most powerful man in college football suddenly doesn't have any power. I don't buy that either. He'll probably stay at this game longer than his own teams in Houston, probably. If Ole Miss wins, Andrew Jones could be the one main reasons with his ability to stop the run. Yeah, he's got to be big in this game. It's kind of forgotten Andrew Jones was barely playing around the time of the Georgia game. Yeah, up until the end, and then he made an impact right away. Jalen Braxton is also a piece that could help a lot this time around. Yes, absolutely. Thoughts on LSU's exodus in the portal, especially on the offensive line? You can't just portal a whole line in. He has tried it before, but I agree that just the talent's not there. There's a chance that LSU's bad again up front next year. They'll have to scheme around it. Nosebleed tickets were $300 to $350 bucks last week. Yep. And now they're $170. Austin, thank you for the super chat, man. Really appreciate you. Have a blessed new year. We all love you. Oh, thanks, man. I don't deserve any of you guys at all, but I really appreciate each and every one of you. Can you rank the New Year's bowl games? Not the matchups, but the bowls themselves. Okay, so not the matchups, but the bowls. Sugar Bowl number one, Rose Bowl two. Ooh. So I have not been to the Rose Bowl. So maybe that's why I have it number two. But in terms of what interests me, yeah, the sunset over the mountains, whatever. But I've always, I have an affinity for New Orleans. I love the Superdome, so I'm biased on that. I have been to a Fiesta Bowl, and I've been to a Peach Bowl. Phoenix is big. It's cool, though. It's a cool area. It's just way the hell out there. So, and I've never been to Miami, although I will soon. So I can't, in terms of viewership, I mean, I guess I would go, yeah, those three, Peach, because of the stadium, it being in the Deep South, Cotton, Fiesta Orange, something like that. seems like the big narrative is Georgia is a different defense now and have no shot. Whole national sports media parroting the same talking points. That's what they do. Sugar Bowl had historically been the South's answer for the Rose Bowl, since the Southern teams were always kind of barred from the Rose Bowl. The Sugar Bowl is our version of the Rose Bowl. And it's just closer, of course. Really hoped we could get a red versus powder blue, but if Ole Miss loses the game, I'd hope we'd see the return of the red away jerseys. I think you're getting that regardless. I really do. Rusty Nail in New Orleans is a great bar for watching football. I think I've been there. Let me see. I believe I've been there. I have been there. See, that's the kind of bar that I'm talking about, by the way. Get away from the quarter. Explore a little. Talking to some Georgia buddies today, and they're all excited, but they all think Georgia is completely safe. It's like there's zero analysis on the game, and it's just a Georgia romp. Harrison, good to see you, man. Thank you. Didn't even know Tennessee and Illinois played each other tonight until after the game was over. The bowls don't matter anymore. Yeah, they don't matter until you lose one, though. What do you think Tennessee fans are feeling right now? Bowls don't matter until your team plays in one. I think for the most part, Georgia and Ole Miss fans congregate. Well, yeah, no bad blood either. I kind of feel like it's going to be pretty cordial, like around the city tomorrow and the next day. Public has been hammering Georgia bets, and the line still hasn't moved. It has not at all. I think they lose, but don't be overly surprised if they won. That's kind of where I am. I think Georgia will ultimately win the game, I think, but close. Deuce Knight in the portal. The quarterback position, unfortunately, at Ole Miss is up in the air right now because of Trinidad's waiver. It's a shame that the portal opens Friday and they still don't know. Been to NOLA a few times, not a fan of Bourbon Street. Go somewhere else. Take the rail car from the CBD or the French Quarter and go uptown and find something. There's just so much good out there. Bourbon Street is awful to me. I can't stand it. I hate going to it. There's nothing good about it to me. When they went on Thursday, thank the LSU coaches, but send them on their merry way. I would send them all but Weiss is what I would do. Set the over-under on 1.5 on any of Deuce Knight, Harlan Berry, Kewon Lacy, and Austin Simmons at Ole Miss next year. No Trinidad waiver. What do you take? Over. Over. Prince Lee didn't play in the first Georgia game, correct? Prince Lee is in the NFL. Prince Will, he did play in that game. Let me tell you his stats. I remember that because he unfortunately missed a sack that could have possibly changed the game there as well. Let's see. So he played but didn't record a tackle in the game. So there you go. Yeah, he doesn't have
any stats on ESPN.
But he did play in the game. Neither Tennessee or Missouri beat an FBS team with a winning record. See? Kind of feels like the league's getting passed right now, doesn't it? Vibes for this game feel similar to 2022 baseball, just saying. Manifest it. Manifest it. What does Ole Miss have to do right to win? Stop the run. force Georgia into passing, obvious passing downs. And I mean, that's the biggest one. We talked about it last time too. It's explosive plays defensively, force a turnover, get a sack, get lucky. You know, a tip ball turns into an interception as opposed to just a ball getting tipped and falling to the turf. Explosive defensive plays is what they have to do. They don't have to have many. They don't have to be perfect, but they have to create chaos defensively. Maybe it's the long wait and drama between games, but since the Florida games ended, it's been a lot of dead air to me between the bye week and the Egg Bowl and Tulane and now this Georgia game. Yes, it is a lot of dead air. The season goes from game to game, bye week, filled with drama, game, bye week, filled with drama, game, bye week, filled with drama, game. Yeah. Getting more excited now? You should. You are not going to the Sugar Bowl? I am. I'm leaving tomorrow after the radio show. Final prediction, Georgia 31, Ole Miss 28. That is my final prediction. Hope I'm wrong. How do you feel about this uniform combo? I would like it better if it was their more traditional road look. Again, I like the powder blue. I like alternate uniforms. I don't like that you stopped looking like yourself at some point. You went so far away from your identity that you lost your identity. Got to get that back. But anyway, got a video coming for you tomorrow, that interview with Brooks. And then in terms of post-game, I don't think it'll be the second the game ends. Be a little bit after, but I am planning on doing something with you guys live post-game. It just won't be the second the game ends, which is probably for the best because most of you will be there. So anyway, really appreciate you guys. Happy New Year. It's been a great year, and I'm very thankful for all of you. And let's just do it better in 26, huh? Video posted tomorrow, though, and I will see you guys live sometime after the game. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.